Philia. Philia love is firstly important because love is important to most, love is most important of the Ten Commandments have to do with love. One of these commandments is to love the neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I know some of us look at that as maybe the person next door, but in this scripture, what it's telling us is you're supposed to love anybody that you come in contact with. That is what the Bible considers to be your neighbor. I remember years ago, I was in a barber shop, and a man told me, he said, he was talking about how long him and his wife had been married. So I asked him, I said, sir, what is the key to you being married that long? And he simply said, son, if you go in your Bible, nowhere in the Bible it tells you that you got to like anybody every day. But the Bible instructs you to love every day. And if you can love your neighbor, I mean your spouse, in spite of what you go through. But the problem is, a lot of us have family members we hadn't spoke to in a long time. A lot of us, we have friends that we fell out with a long time ago. A lot of us are mad with people from what happened in our grandparents' era, and we really don't even know why we're mad. So what I'm telling you tonight is, as we go into philia love, it says that is important for the love of friends. The Ten Commandments instructs us to love. But we find out that the Bible is full of passages that say to love others. Also, love is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So loving others shows the fruit of the Spirit is in us. So loving others is important. We established that loving others in general is important. But loving friends have a specific point. So when you love your friends, what I learned in studying is you have to, a real friend has to confront your friend sometime. If you're wrong, you have to be told you're wrong. If you are doing something that you should not be doing, you are supposed to be told that. That's love. But my brothers and sisters, some of us want to do the not offend. And when you do the not offend, then later that friends come back and say, you saw me doing that. You didn't say anything. They would much rather hear it from someone close to them than to hear it in the street. But that also goes along with a real friend. When you're down, a real friend will be there. When you're down, they're supposed to be there. This is all for Leah love. But my brothers and sisters, it is very important that as we come in these church doors, we don't know how somebody's day has been, somebody's week has been, because truth be told, all of us are going through something, and if you're not, just hold on, because it's coming. And a good morning, how are you doing, makes a lot of people's day. And that, we should all in here as a family, we should be two ways. We should be a church family, but we should all be friends. And we should all be able to support one another, talk to one another. Because if we can't do it in here, we're not reflecting anything on the outside. To have someone we can really count on in our need is very important. then they will probably love us back enough to be reliable and trustworthy so that we can be vulnerable with them. Also, friends hold each other in account. They influence and convict each other to be more spiritual, mature. Godly friends can influence us to be more godly. As one piece of iron sharpens another, friends keep each other sharp. Friends sharpen each other. Galatians 6, 1 through 3 lets us know we are to help make our friends right when they sin. We are to help each other when we're in trouble. Friends help other friends obey Christ's laws. If we do not do this, when our friends sin, we disobey the laws of Christ. To obey God, we must love our friends by helping them when they're troubled and making them right when they sin. So my question again is, can we love in spite of and not because of? Christians should do their best to be like God, according to Romans 13 and 14. It is a part of sanctification. God loves us as friends, according to Proverbs 3 and 32. So we should be like God by loving our friends. To practice filial love, we must first invest in friends. If we do not have close friends, then we cannot fully love our friends in the way God wants us to. To practice any spiritual thing that God wants us to do, we need to have God's help. How do we get God's help? We have to read the Bible and we have to pray. And our prayer life is very important. I have some other stuff, but I'm going to go into that when I get into the family portion of this. But it is very, very important. As a friend, you have to be a burden bearer, a heavy load sharer. Sometimes you have to criticize your friend. But just the same thing, you have to accept criticism. That is the only way that we'll grow, because we are imperfect. I heard a preacher one time say, we come to church on Sunday morning, we're all in the washing machine. So none of us are perfect. But we have to give criticism as a friend, but we have to accept it. That don't mean fall out and don't speak for 6 or 7 months. That means I was wrong, I need to fix it. Simple as that. Let's go to Eros in the Greek, and I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on this. In the Greek, Eros is basically sex between married couples. And it basically tells us that if you're not married, you shouldn't be sleeping with anybody. Simple as that. It ain't a whole lot with that. If you're not married, you're not supposed to be sleeping with anybody. I may come back to that as time permits, but I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on that. Let's go to storge love. The word storge is not used in the Bible. It is derived from the Greek philosopher's word meaning tender loving. The opposite, well, we won't go into that. But storge love is a love that's shared between families.
All right.
So here we go. We share love, supposed to share love as a family. And I'm about to get in trouble, but I'm with it. Somehow, as we progressed in age, we got away from, a lot of us got away from family love. I'm going to start with, we said something about when they took prayer out of schools. But we took prayer out of the house. Deacon McLean read earlier about how your days would be long. The family structure has, in a lot of cases, lost. We have sisters we hadn't spoke to, have brothers we hadn't spoke to, got mamas and daddies we despise. And that's not what the Bible commands us to do. The Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. But that's people outside the house. So if it tells you to love your neighbor as yourself, and that's people outside of the house, then you ought to know what it's telling us for the people that's inside of the house. And love between family starts with respect. But it's just like I said with the friend. Sometimes you're going to have to criticize your family. But you're going to also take that criticism when it comes back. I would ask everybody just to, as you go home, just think. Is there a friend? Sometimes we have to be the old folks said a bigger person, better person, whichever way you want to put it. Sometimes you can't say, well, I love her, but I didn't do it, she did it. Sometimes to correct the problem, you have to make an effort. As a loving family person, you have to make the effort. Now, sometimes that'll work, sometimes it doesn't. But God doesn't hold you responsible for what somebody else does. But he holds you responsible for what you do or don't do. The word storge, I said earlier, is not in the Bible. But let's go back. Anytime love is merciful, loyal, obedient, truthful, and humble, there you see storge love. Some of the most well-known stories in the Bible display the family love. Abraham and Sarah, Noah and his family, Isaac and Jacob, Mary and Martha love for their brother Lazarus. I'm going to ask my question again. Can we love in spite of, instead of because of? And in the family, we should be loving in spite of. Because you may not need anybody today, but you're going to need somebody eventually. Your family's going to need you, you're going to need them. Okay, the Bible verse about storge is the one Deacon McLean read earlier. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be longer in the hands that the Lord your God is giving you. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. By this we will know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. God has made the path road that we need to follow. And it is very, very important that we raise our children, love our children, love our family, because family is ought to be weaving together. And like I said earlier, as we done got moved in time, we've in a lot of cases got away from family love, family interaction. And in these last days, we need to be going back in that direction. Because if you don't believe we're in the last days, just look around. And our family structure is what your house, your family structure should be on, a solid foundation. And that is very, very important. Now let's go to six ways Christians can sow storge love. Pray for them. You may never have to place yourself in harm's way for the sake of loved ones, but taking time to pray for the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ is a sacrifice of your time. In a way that this actually does put you in harm's way. Satan will do his best to distract the faithful. Forgive them. Mercy is punishment, not given because of grace, which is an undeserved gift. If someone in your close circle hurts, you are for mercy. Don't hold a grudge. Remember, love keeps no record of wrong. So my brothers and sisters, there again, I know I may have done something you don't like. You may have done something I don't like. I'm just using that for an example, by the way. But you cannot hold a grudge and let that stop you from straightening out the issue at hand. Because there's no need to carry that extra weight. Now, I'm not saying go, you know, pull somebody out in front of a big congregation and clown, because that's not what you need to do. Pull that person to the side, sit down and talk with them. And a lot of times you'll find it may not have been what you thought it was, but rather than carry that extra burden and weight, go on, sit down, and try to extinguish the fire. Don't be afraid of the truth. Speak it, accept it, and peace in your family is not always loving. Sometimes there's just hidden and avoiding. So when we get a problem, a lot of us think it'll go away by itself. That's not what God commands us to do. God commands us to not let the sun go down. But for a lot of situations, that didn't happen quite a few years. I urge, and I know it's not easy. It's not easy. But we need to, if there's a situation, and I don't know who this is for, because I was told in another ballpark, and the Lord told me yesterday riding down the road that I need to go this route. So I don't know who this is for, but it's time to go back and fix those issues, if there are any. Because my brothers and sisters, when they roll them up here, it's too late to fix it. And tomorrow is not promised to none of us. So if there's a way to fix the issue, we need to get to fixing it. And that goes from, ain't nobody in the choir stand, but that goes from the choir stand to the back door. We need to, if there's issues, we need to address them. Be a good role model. Demonstrate love for Christ by reading scripture, praying regularly, forgiving one another, and sharing the truth. I realize how hard this can be when I see my kids watching me. What do our kids see when they're watching us? Husbands, wife is very important. I know you're going to have issues, but them issues don't need to be displayed in front of the church. Amen. Love, there again, go to a place, sit down, hash out your differences, everybody come out smiling. May not be happy, but everybody come out smiling. Help one another learn about storge love. Actively to demonstrate the principles of this kind of affection for one another instead of just talking about it. If a friend thinks Christianity is a religion bent on making you feel terrible about yourself, this is a chance to explain to them God's love and course for their life. The last one is stick together. When things are going on in your life, things are going on in your family's life, support one another. Show love, because that's important. I'm going to share a little story, then I'm going to move on. When I married my wife, she told me, she said, my parents are in Georgia. And I looked at her and told her, if you go see about my mama, anytime your mama and daddy need me, I'll set that highway on fire. And you have to give what you expect. You have to give that to get what you expect in return. So if you're going to expect your family to love you, you got to love them. There again, we're all imperfect. We're all imperfect. We're all in the wash machine. We're all trying to go in the same direction. But we come from different backgrounds. We come from different places. Even in your families, your situations are going to be different. So we have to learn how to talk to one another, love one another, support one another. And sometime in your life, to love your family, you got to see and don't see. I mean, sometimes you got to let some stuff pass over your head. Let's go to our last and most important. Agape love. Agape love is a sacrificial love that unites and heals. It is the love of God that we see through the cross of Jesus Christ. The love saves and restores humility in the face of sin and death. This is what God did for us. And we find out that agape love is a love of choice, not out of attraction or not out of obligation. So, this is something, agape love is something that you have to carry. It has to be a part of you. You have to carry yourself in the order of Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. And what we go through is nothing in comparison to what Jesus went through for us. So we have to agape could be defined as a character. However, we often think of characters not a day as giving away money or things, which doesn't encompass all of what agape is about. Agape love is unconcerned with itself and concerned with the greater good of another. Agape isn't born just out of emotion, feeling, familiarity, or attraction, but from the will and the choice of agape requires faithful commitment, sacrifice, without aspect of any return. Can we love in spite of and not because of? If we're loving someone expecting something in return, then we have to rethink some things. Because a lot of people are not in position to give you what you expect back. Sometimes a simple thank you may be all they can give. But from me to you, if you're not going to do it with the right attitude anyway, then don't do it. It's not going to accomplish anything. So if we can't love in spite of, instead of because of, we need to do some more soul searching. I heard a radio personality say one day, if you can't lend something without getting it back, then don't lend it. Because you don't know when that person will be in a position to pay you back. And my brothers and sisters, a lot of us fall out with family, friends over $2 or $3. We're not speaking over $2 or $3. And you over there laying up, can't sleep at night, mad in the firecracker. And they over there sleeping good. She won't need $3. I ain't got the $3. I'm going on to sleep. And you over there mad. But But as we close, I say to you, we have one of the greatest pastors this side of heaven. We got one of the greatest congregations. But we have to have love among ourselves. See, love don't start on the outside and come in. It's got to start on the inside and go out. And when you want love, if the mess is in here, they don't want to come in here. So sometimes you have to be the fireman. Sometimes you have to pour water on the fire instead of stirring in it. Because love makes you stop mess. Because I can say something up here, and by the time it gets to Sister Brown, and it done changed 9 times. So in love, we have to be mindful and careful what we do and say. Thank you.
Such core teaching, love. Love, little word, big impact. Love. Thank you, Reverend Woods, for expounding so on love and the need of it. Amen.
Amen.
He deep tonight. Oh, he deep. He in the Greek and everything. Thank you, man. Amen. Listen, you know, I want so much for them because they are great preachers and great teachers. A great leader or a good leader try to produce great and good leaders. They have so much in them, and I want them to exercise their gifts to the fullest. I'm not a selfish pastor. I'm not incompetent pastor, anything like that, because I believe God sent me. And those God has given you, you have to use. And so I really appreciate. Amen. Amen. Listen, we are nearing the end of our study in Matthew's, or through the Gospel of Matthew's. I'm kind of tossed as to what direction we will go in after our final teaching in Matthew's, which would be the next time I teach. I want to propose 2 books, and I think I want to do a book study. I Am a Church Member is one by Tom Rainer, and The Gate Church is the other. So it'll be one or the other. One of the two, I Am a Church Member, and it reveals our responsibility as a church member. So we may study I Am a Church Member or The Gate Church, how to open the gate of the kingdom of God to people who indulge and engage in worship experience. So often we come in and we never experience the open gate. And that's our responsibility as a church, is to open the gate so people can have an epiphany, a God moment, a wow, moment. They need to see the ladder as Jacob saw it when he laid his head on the stone and slept at Bethel. He says, truly, this is the house of God, because in a vision, he saw angels descending and ascending. That's what ought to happen when we come into the house of God. Angels ought to be descending and ascending. That's the premise of the book of the Gate Church. So one of the two. One of the two. I'm a church member, or Gate Church. It'd be a wonderful study. It both are biblical and foundational in the Word of God. And so I want to do that to give us perspective as to our responsibility as Christians, as church members, and our responsibility of opening the gate so people can experience God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. It's prayer time. It's prayer time. Let us stand and formulate our seal, our prayer seal. Pray for me while times are going well with you. Pray for me that the Lord will carry me through. Pray for me that the will of the Lord be done. Pray, pray, pray for me. Pray for me while times are going well with you. Pray for me that the Lord will see me through. Pray for me that the will of the Lord be done. Pray, pray, pray. Come on, let me hear you, y'all. Y'all kind of dragging with, let me hear you. Pray for me while times are going well with you. Pray for me that the Lord will see me through. Pray for me that the will of the Lord be done. Pray, pray, pray for me. Are there any prayer requests? Say it again. Felicia Wilson, all right. Are there any other prayer requests? Amen. Latonya LaShore. Latonya LaShore. All right. Sandy, what's your dad's name again? Willie Hill. He's in the hospital. Sister Sandy's father. Come on. Sales and Browning family. Amen. Amen. Safe travel.
Pray for my granddaughter, Ashley.
Pray for your granddaughter,
Ashley.
Pray for Ashley. All right. Children. Amen. All right. Lawrence and Dancer. Amen. Henley. All right. Amen. Hannah. Amen. 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 Someone over here. Amen. Congress. All right. Anyone else? All right. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this privilege of prayer. For Lord, we cast all our cares on you because you care for us. Lord, we don't want our enemy to use our cares to frustrate us, cause us anxiety, discouragement, and doubt. For our enemy is as a roaring lion going about whom, seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, we're yours and we're safely kept. That nothing and no one can pluck us out of your hand. We have that blessed assurance that all is well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a portion of health and strength. Lord, things being as well as they are, we have no reason to complain. But Lord, we are celebratory in our expressions unto you because you deserve praise and glory. Where we are, you brought us. What we have, you gave it to us. What we know, you taught us. Who we are, you made us. And we rely on you, Lord, to carry us on. For the great work that you have begun in us will be completed, Lord, at the coming of your Son. Lord, names have been called. And we lay them at your altar. We know that you are a great physician that has never lost a patient. For Lord, you are our prescription for healing and deliverance. And we thank you for that. So Lord, we pray that you look upon them with compassion and care and touch them. In Jesus' name. Raise them up off the sick bed. Give them back their mind. Give them back the settlement of their hearts and joy that's full and peace that stands as a sentinel that will guard their hearts and minds and keep them from worry and keep them from anxiety. Lord, where there's pain, we pray that you relieve them. Hold them in the hollow of your hand, Lord, and speak a word of comfort to them. Maybe they are alone, or maybe someone is at their bedside, but Lord, you still can whisper into their ears to bring comfort to their hearts and bring healing to their bodies. We trust you. We believe you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or ever think. Lord, we pray for our children. Lord, they are so troubled in mind and unsettled in heart. We lift them before you, Lord. And we know that you are a covenant God. I've been saying since I've been here, if I take care of your business, you'll take care of mine. And Lord, you're true to your word. Everything we ever needed, Lord, you provide it. Because all we know to do is give ourselves to you. For you are the King and Lord of our lives. And as King, Lord, you are responsible for the citizens of your kingdom. That they don't have to make their own way. They just need to trust you. And your word said, Lord, if we seek you first and your righteousness, all things shall be added. And Lord, you're doing that. Lord, round by round, we're going higher. Yes. Day by day, we're getting better. Yes. And you're adding. And Lord, you have already worked it out before we have gotten to it. We get to it. And we trust you and thank you for that. Lord, I pray for everyone in this circle. This cell of prayer. Cell of faith. Lord, as they are praying and as I'm praying, we thank you for having an all-hearing ear. That you hear us simultaneously. As we are praying, you hear us. And if you hear us, we know we have the petition that we desire of you. Touch in Jesus' name everyone in this circle. Lord, some may be silent sufferers. Satan has sealed their lips and kept them quiet. Lord, kept them from confessing. But there's power and healing in confessing. Lord, I pray that they be bold. And if something is wrong, that they don't suffer in silence. But they learn to open that mouth and receive the help they need by calling on you. And not being ashamed of you before people. Lord, we need help in our families. Thank you for the word tonight. That we're not loving as we should. And Reverend Wood says we got to get back to family structure and dynamics. That our homes, Lord, be homes of unity, togetherness. Because there's strength in togetherness. Lord, that our homes will be governed by your word, your way of righteousness. Lord, we thank you for bringing those that you have brought through surgery through, that they're on this side and they are recovering. Lord, help them to convalesce and be healed in their bodies. Lord, the bereaved, we pray that you lift their heads and give them the perspective of your word, that precious in your sight is the death of a saint. And what's precious to you should be precious to us. Groom us and grow us as a church. Lord, as you are adding to us, we pray that we, Lord, take hold of the responsibility of edifying through biblical teaching and preaching, through prayers, Lord, and through loving and fellowship, compassion and caring one for another. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness, that you be pleased to use us for your glory. Protect our children. Lord, tonight we shared, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They have endless possibilities, endless potential. And I pray that they, Lord, would bring to fruition their potential. Help them live their best life in you and for you. In Jesus' name. Go with us as we go down from this place, but never from your divine presence. Send angels before us and camp angels around us. Keep us on the way. And we make it to our humble abodes, Lord. Give us rest. For your word says you give your beloved rest. And Lord, if it's your will, Lord, wake us up early in the morning. Lord, that we open our eyes and open our mouths. And Lord, get on our phones and get on our computers. Lord, and dial in, Lord, to the Zoom line, where we can get a word from you. Lord, we need all the word we can get. We need a word from you. And then, Lord, at 10, meet us here again. We need a word from you. In Jesus' name. We do ask all. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you letting me do it.
Right, Deborah Woods.
God bless you.